Be opening your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. While you're turning there, I want to make an announcement about someone that you do not know. I think a couple of years ago or whenever it was, just a minute and I'll tell you, in November of 2012, I may have mentioned the death of a friend of mine, Danny Joe Wilson. Danny was older than myself, and he was injured in Vietnam in August of 1966. Danny Joe's wife just this past week received notice from, Department of Defense, that his name will be on the Vietnam Memorial Wall. The reason why I mention this is that there was another fellow in the congregation I grew up in whose name is already on the wall, but Danny Joe's will be added to that because although Danny just died in November of 2012, his death was noted as a result of injuries he received in combat in Vietnam when a mortar exploded while he was on patrol. Danny Joe was told when he got home that his legs needed to be removed, and he said no. He was told later that he would never walk without braces. Well, I saw him walk with braces, but he said, I will walk without braces, and he did. As many of you know, many of the folks who come home from war, some of them do amazing things. And Danny Joe was one of them. I was happy to know him. Exodus chapter 20 will be our beginning point in this lesson this morning. I chose to title the lesson, Who Do You Worship? Who Do You Serve? Who do you worship? Who do you serve? Let me read just a few of these verses in Exodus chapter 20. There are some folks here who can probably recite this, but I'm not going to. This is from the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the father to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God or take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord your God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The fourth is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I'll stop right there. Some of you know that the first four of the Ten Commandments deal with man's relationship with God, and the last six deal with man's relationship with man. What you can also say, concerning those first four is that they form the foundation of our relationship with God even today. Now I know that the fourth says keep the Sabbath day holy, but it also says something about our worship of God and revering God. So the first three commandments of the ten given through Moses form that relationship with God. no other gods before me, no idols, and do not misuse or take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you read the Ten Commandments lately? It might be a good idea to go back and reread those Ten Commandments, all ten of them. I'm emphasizing the first three right now. Who do you worship? Who do you serve? In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus makes it clear that you cannot serve two masters. We touched on this a little bit in our class. No one can serve two masters. And the call from God is for us to give our exclusive service and worship to Him. Amen. It cannot be divided. I remember many, many years ago hearing a woman, I was just overhearing a conversation of hearing a woman say, "I'm in love with two men at the same time." I thought, well, that's strange. Anyway, that's enough. So I assume that you insist that you worship and serve God. Is that on God's terms or your terms? I have to ask. Is that on your terms or God's terms? Have you been led astray when it comes to the business of worship and service to God? I think most of you understand that Satan would be happy for you to come to worship, to be here every Lord's Day, and give God your allegiance on the Lord's Day, and then go your own way the rest of the week. I don't know what your interest in the Old Testament is, but if you give some serious thought to what's in the Old Testament, you'll understand that Israel at certain times had that problem. Worshipping and serving idols and attempting to offer allegiance to God. And when that was called to their attention by some of the prophets that God sent, God's not happy? Well, let's give some more sacrifice. Let's give Him some more. Let's see if we can appease this God that you're talking about. It didn't work. They ended up in exile anyway. Let me read you just a little bit from Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, when it comes to the business of our allegiance to God, our worship of God, the verse I mentioned earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Some translations say mammon, and we read that and say, I don't know what that means. Riches, materialism, money. We cannot serve two masters. But what I wanted to read in Matthew chapter 7 starts in about verse 15. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There's a little bit more you could read right on down through the ending of the chapter if you like. Who do you worship? Who do you serve? From time to time, it's good for each of us to do a little self-examination. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Again, I test me, you test you. This might seem a little bit hodgepodge, but I don't think that it is. If you look back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm interested in verses 4 and 5. I'll read a few more verses, but starting in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Love the Lord. Love the Lord your God. Yes, that's Old Testament. But when you look into the New Testament, when you look at Matthew chapter 22, 34 through 40, and Mark chapter 12, 28 through 31, you find that Jesus repeats that, and he says, this is the greatest commandment. And then he adds to it, Leviticus 19, 18, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second great commandment. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but if you consider the information that we looked at in Exodus chapter 20, the statement in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, and Leviticus 19, 18, concerning love for God and love for our fellow man, these two statements are a good reflection of what's taught in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. Who do you worship? Who do you serve? Who do you love? Stop and think about it. You're not likely to worship and serve that which you do not love. You're not likely to worship and serve that which you do not love. Also, if you love the Lord, as presented by Moses in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, you will likely have a very strong desire to obey God and to worship and serve Him His way. Some of this is simple common sense. simple human nature. Our devotion and our dedication to our God must be on His terms, not ours. You might recall something that Paul said in the New Testament in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. Have you taken a look at your relationship with God lately? One last thought. Have you been with Jesus? You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, there's a statement made. Let me take just a moment and look at it. But verse 12 is important as well. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been arrested, and they're taken before the Sanhedrin to answer for what they're doing. They've healed a man, but they've been teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the statements that was made in verse 12 of Acts chapter 4 is, well, I won't take the time to read all of this, but go back to verse 1 and read down through here. Skim over it very quickly. In verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He, that is Christ, is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone or the cornerstone." Now listen to verse 12 and 13. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So my question comes to you. Have you been with Jesus? Does anyone know that you've been with Jesus? Do any of your neighbors and friends know that you've been with Jesus? Do people know where to find you on Sunday morning? Do they? If your house catches on fire, will your neighbors know to look for you here? And do people know where not to go looking for you? Think about it. Do people know, because you've been with Jesus, what they're going to hear from your lips? Do they also know what they're not going to hear from your lips? Because you've been with Jesus, do people know you as one who is generous and kind? Or do they expect to hear Lincoln crying out because you've got such a tight grip on that penny? That was meant to be funny. Just thought I'd tell you. Do people know you because you've been with Jesus? Do they know you as an individual who's going to be generous? Do they know you as an individual who's going to listen when they have a problem and need a listening ear? Have you been with Jesus? Who do you worship? Who do you serve? Remember, Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Five verses from one psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us. We are His. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Who do you worship? Who do you serve? Is it God? Is it self? Is it money? Is it fame? Who do you worship? Who do you serve? Who do you belong to? Now that's the lesson this morning. If you're not a Christian, you have opportunity to become one. If you, as a member of this congregation, are in need of our prayers, either myself or other men here will be willing to pray for you. Let's stand and sing together, please.